was sent to God into a town, Galilee, called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor, David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of the Lord.
A reading from Annunciation, a poem by Denise Levertov. We know the scene, the room, variously furnished, almost always a lectern, a book, always a tall lily. Arrived on solemn grandeur of great wings, the angelic ambassador standing or hovering, whom she acknowledges a guest. But we are told of weak obedience. No one mentions courage. The engendering spirit did not enter her without consent. God waited. She was free to accept or to refuse, choice being integral to humanness. Aren't there annunciations of one sort or another in most lives? Some unwillingly undertake great destinies, enact them in sullen pride, uncomprehending. More often, those moments when roads of light and storm open from darkness for a man or a woman are turned away from, in dread, in a wave of weakness, in despair, with relief. Ordinary lives continue. God does not smite them, but the gates close, the pathway vanishes. She had been a child who played, ate, slept like any other child, but unlike others, wept only for pity, laughed in joy, not triumph. Compassion and intelligence fused in her, indivisible. Called to a destiny more momentous than any in all time, she did not quail, only asked a simple, "How can this be?" And gravely, courteously, took to heart the angel's reply, the astonishing ministry she was offered. To bear in her womb infinite weight and lightness, to carry in hidden finite inwardness 9 months of eternity, to contain in slender vase of being the sum of power, in narrow flesh, the sum of light, to bring to birth, push into the air, a man-child, needing like any other milk and love, but who is God. This was the moment no one speaks of, when she could still refuse. A breath unbreathed, spirit suspended, waiting. She did not cry. I cannot, I am not worthy. Nor, I have not the strength. She did not submit with gritted teeth, raging, coerced. Bravest of all humans, consent illumined her. The room filled with its light. The lily glowed with it, and the iridescent wings. Consent, courage unparalleled, opened her utterly.
The reading from the Gospel of Luke. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Jordanian town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. But when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, and exclaimed a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment in what was spoken to her by the Lord." Thanks be to God.
A reading from Meister Eckhart. What good is it to me if this eternal birth of the divine Son takes place unceasingly, but does not take place within myself? And what good is it to me if Mary is full of grace, if I am not also full of grace? What good is it to me for the Creator to give birth to his, her Son, if I do not also give birth to him in my time and my culture? This, then, is the fullness of time, when the Son of God is begotten in us. We are all meant to be mothers of God.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord.
A reading from Blessed Are the Shepherds by Morton Kelsey. The shepherds were called first because they would be comfortable with a birth in a stable. These shepherds had not bathed for months. They had been sleeping on the ground. They were outcasts, the dispossessed people of the land. Most of the time they were hungry. They were poor and fearful human beings. Alone, under the stars, night after night, these burdened people could not hide from themselves. Their hearts lay like heavy leaden balls within them. They knew dark and destructive voices within themselves. Even in our prosperous society, we find the same hopelessness among the poor, those tormented with mental illness and in prisons, and in those places ironically called rest homes. These poor shepherds are a symbol of those most open to the divine child in Bethlehem. They needed hope in a God who cared. In addition, these shepherds were awake, watching, alert. The shepherds at the manger inspire some new beatitudes. Blessed are the shepherds, for they give hope to ordinary people like you and me. They tell us no one is excluded. Blessed are the homeless, wandering, shepherd-like people, for they are free to follow immediately the angel's call. Blessed are the hungry and thirsty, the unhappy and the unloved, for God has seen their misery and sent divine love bodily into the world at Christmas to assuage their pain and loneliness and give them hope and even joy. Blessed are those who know themselves so well they are aware of the demons lurking within them, for they are prepared to accept the angel's invitation. Blessed are the fearful, for the Christ child came to take away their fear and to give them the fullness of heaven's love now and forever.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. The word of the Lord.
A reading from The Christmas Story by William Willimon. The Christmas Story, the one according to Luke, not Dickens, is not about how blessed it is to be givers, but about how essential it is to see ourselves as receivers. God wanted to do something for us so strange, so utterly beyond the bounds of human imagination, so foreign to the human projection, that God had to resort to angels, pregnant virgins, and stars in the sky to get it done. We didn't think of it, understand it, or approve it. All we could do at Bethlehem was receive it. That's tough, because I would rather see myself as a giver. I want power to stand on my own, take charge, set things straight, perhaps to help those who have nothing. I don't like picturing myself as dependent, needy, or empty-handed. It's tough to be on the receiving end of love, God's or anyone else's. It requires that we see our lives, not our possessions, but as gifts. Nothing is more repugnant to capable, reasonable people than grace, wrote John Wesley a long time ago. This is often the way God loves us, with gifts we thought we didn't need, which transform us into people we don't necessarily want to be. With our advanced degrees, armies, government programs, material comforts, and self-fulfillment techniques, we assume that religion is about giving a little of our power in order to confirm to ourselves that we are indeed as self-sufficient as we claim. Then this stranger comes to us, blesses us with a gift, and calls us to see ourselves as we are, empty-handed recipients of a gracious God, who rather than leave us to our own devices, give us a child.
A reading from the Gospel of John. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that so whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The word of the Lord.